So we pray, Heavenly Father, I remember the time I was with the prophet in the room, and the pillar of fire wrote upon the wall to go back to Arizona, and I saw the terror in the man's face as he realized you were there speaking to him. And yet today in meetings like this and around the world, people do not understand the terror of the righteous living God who demands and will receive his demands in judgment upon the earth because people have not respected or sincerely taken a second or some only a half a look at your great presence here in pillar of fire and in the prophet manifesting yourself once more in human flesh according to the word. And Lord, we're a people like that today. We know it in ourselves. We're not nearly sincere and sober enough, and there's others who have said they were, but we can see that they also have problems. We just pray, Lord, that you'll help us to be very sincere, knowing we're dealing with your word, very circumspect, very cautious. Help us, Lord, to yield to your spirit this morning in truth and in righteousness and to walk therein. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now we're number five in End Time Seed Sign. And we note that in the two messages previous to this End Time Seed Sign, Brother Branham spoke of the original seed as being the spoken word of God. We saw as no seed can change a species of itself, neither can the word of God be changed, not even by God himself, thereby making God and his word one. Or as it is plainly put by Brother Branham, we are dealing with a Rhema Logos God. Now, we're all very familiar with Rhema, which the book is supposed to be simply the unadulterated, purely written word of God. And the Logos, of course, is the manifestation of that same word through God himself moving in that same, in that word. And we find and have found by our studies that Rhema and Logos are interchangeable as to their exact meanings, even as Brother Branham used that principle. Of course, Brother Branham was made a false prophet by people because he did that. Those people should have gone to their Bibles. Now let us carefully and quickly note that Brother Branham was speaking about seeds, little carriers and producers, according to the life within them. That's what seeds are, the little carriers. And they are responsible for producing the life that is in them. They're just mediums, carriers, conduits. Now seeds are then planted. Then from them grow plants. And eventually those plants will produce a harvest of original-like seeds. The Word of God is like that. Exactly as it is given as to exactly what it is, that is exactly the way it comes back to God. There's no change. Now, in this message of End Time Seed Sign, Brother Branham speaks of a former or teaching rain and a harvest rain, and it's a harvest also. At the same time, the teaching of the end time. This is an hour of seed time and harvest in one generation. What's planted comes to harvest. He says that there are three plantings of three kinds of word, and they've already gone forth. One, the true word of God, which has been planted by Brother Branham. Now, that's not a boast. That's not an overstatement. It's a fact. Brother Branham's a vindicated prophet. Number two, the creeds and dogmas of churches, represented by Graham and Roberts, which end up in the Federation of World Churches headed by Rome. Three, the geopolitical word of nations. Now, I could simply say it was a political word, but I would say it's geopolitical, based on my understanding of what geopolitics are. It has to do with the geography of the world. And we see that the Roman Empire, exactly as it was, has to come back. And the image is built by America. So we see the political word of nations has gone forth, democracy and communism, the iron, the clay. Because that's what it's all about. Now, exactly what we see in all these three manifestations is the sign that Jesus said in Matthew 24 that we were to look for. And we see them. Number one, in the political sciences of government, we see the feet of iron and clay in a confrontation with Eisenhower iron and Khrushchev clay. And you can see that that's true. America has not gone to pieces. We'll continue the way we are, a complete mess, financed by Rome. But you'll notice over there in Russia, they couldn't hold up. Number two, in the category of Graham and Roberts, a great proliferation and an ingathering into a federation that is being guided by Rome. Three, finally, there is this very tiny group that adheres to the vindicated word and are barely identified or contrasted from some fundamental organizational people. The difference is like a razor blade. Two spirits. All right. These manifested seeds have come forth from a teaching rain or doctrines propounded and expounded. Now we're talking about all three. All three have teachings. And they have come forth at the same time. The anointing was there to bring it forth. It has been brought forth. It's doctrine which has been propounded and expounded. Only one is right. Now, the latter rain has to bring it to complete maturity. In other words, God anoints all three by His Spirit. He gives all three life, power, to come forth and bring forth what is in them. And you can see this greatly misunderstood scripture of Acts 2, which we've read many, many times. And it says in the book of Acts, the second chapter, there's going to be a repeat of what was seen on the day of Pentecost. There's going to be plenty manifestation. And at that time, it said in the last days, said, God will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Now, there's last 2 days, 2 days left. The year 5,000 and 6,000. But it goes deeper than that. Because it gives you a series and a progression of consequences. The last days, God pours his spirit upon all, A-double-L, flesh. And he says, your sons, your daughters prophesy. Your young men see vision, your old men dream dreams, but on my servants, my men, my women, all proud of those days of my spirit, and they'll prophesy. Here's where your two vines are so close, your razor blade difference in the two spirits. Now watch what he says. I will show wonders in heaven above, signs in the earth beneath, blood, fire, and so on. And he's talking about the great and notable day of the Lord. So we see that God has promised, even though this rocks your theology, this absolutely is as an internal bomb in your brain. It just blows your brain and your thinking plumb apart. You say, God wouldn't do that. God said he wouldn't, he does. All flesh at the end time. So the razor blade difference between reality or a true bride and a false bride. Now in paragraph 109, Brother Branham, a vindicated prophet says that when the rain begins to fall, life will take hold and the word will manifest itself. Now, that is a true statement. Now, you sitting here this morning will be thinking, no doubt, upon various lines, well, that word is going to manifest in me and it's going to be such and such and such and such. Now, if you have thoughts like that, you better bury them. You better destroy them. Because you're on the verge of spiritual suicide. You have to go to the word of a vindicated prophet as to exactly what is being taught and what the explanation is. Now he says when the rain begins to fall, that's a latter rain, life will take hold. And those three words will manifest themselves, and they're being manifested right now. Because I cannot find where Brother Branham is saying this will manifest and that will manifest, but the other won't. Now, in this case, I believe he's speaking particularly of the Word, which is the Word of God, will manifest itself. Now, we've already had the definitive manifestation, which is this is the Word of God by vindicated prophet, what he teaches for this hour. What is going to come out of it? Now, that's the thing that we're going to be looking at more and more. Now, listen. Since there is no disputing the union, rather the disputing the iron and clay geopolitical seed sown and manifested, and likewise the denominational word seed sown and manifested, because we see the Federation, there has to be a bride right now who will be manifested in a Mount Zion showdown. Now that's out of your hands and my hands. Well, let's just look at it in the book of Hebrews. And we've looked at it many times, and it's the 12th chapter, which is the most amazing and marvelous chapter, following the 11th chapter on faith. Now it says here, at the time of the fornicators and profane people like Esau, the twin, you understand? Verse 16, lest there be any fornicator or profane person. Fornicating profane person. Idolatrous, messed up person is Esau, who for one morsel of meat, you can't buy or sell at the end time without having the ticket, sold his birthright. Right there, he denounced himself as a firstborn. He was locked out of the first resurrection. And then it says, for we know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. This man was all mixed up with emotions and sorrow concerning himself. And all of these things that the church is going through, there's no way that he could comprehend what the word was all about, the birthright and the things of that hour. Now he said, now watch carefully. The actual chronology of Scripture can be very confusing. Personally, I would not write it this way. I might make changes, although it's perfectly good. I'm not arguing the point. But the emphasis is this. When you come into the presence of Mount Zion, watch out. Because there'll be two people there. There'll be a Jacob and an Esau. There'll be one that wants the birthright. There'll be one that sells the birthright. And remember, Jacob was a more, I beg your pardon, Esau was a more loving child to his parents than Jacob was. When it stood the test of character, Esau came to Jacob and said, "You always were a supplanter, you bum." He didn't understand what Jacob was all about. Jacob wasn't supplanting anything. Jacob just wanted that birthright. Now, he let his mother guide him wrong for a while until he got away from home. Then his senses guided him wrong because he looked at a beautiful girl and wanted her. Then he got his sister, which I don't suppose, I wouldn't for 1 minute argue, but she was a better bet than the one he wanted. Tender-eyed Leah. You understand what I'm saying? The kind old priest and these guys here? But I'm not saying for 1 minute you can be a bunch of bums and claim a birthright. I can take my scripture and show you. You don't have any understanding or appreciation of anything at this hour. I'm just pointing out, you watch at this time that you don't get looking around and say, "Oh, those wonderful people. Hey, I'm wrong. They got to be right." Kind old priest, renegade Jesus. Oh, my, don't say that. I've got every right to say it. Spirit of God made Brother Branham call a bunch of Canadians mossbacks. Mossbacks. Just stood there like dumb oxen until the ecumenical society takes them over. For years they touted themselves as the most high-paid people in the world because they're reaping the benefits of the Second World War. Where are they today? Their dollar's hardly worth 75 cents compared to ours. They could have a woman president. Oh, God, take pity. Let's get back to Scripture. He said, watch it. At this time, for you are not come unto the mount that might be touched, and that burned with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest. And the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words, which voice that they heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them any more. They get tired of the word. Word, word, word. Tired of the word. A little hoop and a holler. I'm not against emotion. They could not endure that which was commanded, and if so much as a beast touched the mountain, it should be stoned or thrust through with the dark. And so terrible was the sight that Moses had exceedingly fear and quake. Now, I see, this is where I said the Bible throws you, that little interpolation, like little chronology interpolation. And you get so carried away, you forget that it says, now, just a minute, at the hour that you approach Mount Zion, there'll be those approaching Mount Sinai. Death, destruction, doom. Now watch it. Or you will be a fornicator and a profane person. You'll be caught in idolatry and whoredoms and be leprous. You'll be full of AIDS. Because I really believe that AIDS is an extension of leprosy in the sense of uncleanness. And the body rots. Well, sir, in leprosy, your body rots. Don't tell me it doesn't. I've seen pictures of lepers. It's a communicable disease. Now, you are come to Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of messengers, angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all. Huh? You believe you're bride this morning? That's all. You don't have to even say to raise your hands. I'm used to it. Judge? Huh? White throne? Right? We're getting our white throne right now. And our white throne says, you are the perfect, righteous, sinless, virtuous bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. You didn't even do it. You were tricked. White throne. Didn't Brother Branham take us to the first psalm for this hour? Oh, he certainly did take us to the first psalm on life. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the Esaus, nor stands in the way of sinners. Stands in their way. He doesn't stand in their way. He's standing with them. Nor sits in the seat of the scornful. The lawyers, the dignitaries, the bigwigs, PhDs, DDs. Why, William Branham didn't go to college. Of course he didn't understand the Trinity. Oh, my. What an ass William Branham was. Why, he didn't know the Trinity. I got news. If you know three gods, you're an idolater. And you'll burn in hell. Not because I say so, but the Bible says so. Try to feed it to a Jew. Sits in the seat of the scornfulness. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And they came together in the book of Malachi in the last time, and God listened to them talking. And he should be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. And whatever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so. They're like the chaff. Chaff. There's only one season when you get chaff. Unless you're stupid and preserve it just in a bottle. Hey, I come from a farm country. We burnt the chaff. We let it rot. We usually burnt it because chaff doesn't rot too easily. It's a funny kind of dry stuff. It's a good, pretty good fiber of the soil eventually. It goes back to the soil. It blows away. You know how they used to separate the wheat from the chaff? They had animals walking on it. And then I done it myself many times as a kid. Followed the thrash machines. There's good money in it. Chicken feed, anything else. You could sell it and make money because the old thrash machines weren't very good. I used to pick up the buckets of wheat with the chaff and all the dust and turn so the wind would blow. And then it'll slowly trickle down. The dust and the chaff blows away. The end time, the Spirit of God blows the chaff plumb out. Now listen. The wind driveth them away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand. They can't stand. They're chaff. Blessed is the man that builds his house upon the rock, and the winds blow and the floods descend, and the man's house stand because he's built upon the rock. What rock? The rock of Revelation. Ungodly shall not stand, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. They won't be in the rapture. What's the trumpet all about? Gathering to the wedding supper. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. What does he mean? He recognizes the righteous. Who are the righteous? They are the Abels, contradistinction to Cain's. Which to me is exactly this hour, I'm saying, which is to me in my thinking, maybe not somebody else's. Don't ever get mine confused with Brother Branham. I try to build mine on his, but when I talk about this message, remember, I go word by word, you listen to Brother Branham. I'm just trying to help. Now, in 22:10-20, and he said to me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. So therefore, between the time of Revelation 10:4, a sealing, there's an unsealing. And at that time, God cannot say to whoever opens those seven seals, hold it, shut it up again. Something starts and it's over. And let me tell you something, God himself cannot stop it or God becomes a liar. And you can't trust him for anything, forget it. If I can't trust God here, thus saith the Lord, that he's got enough honor to back up his name and destroy the ones that would dare to come in his name and have some kind of miracle that he would back up, forget it. You just have to rely upon mythology, fables. You couldn't rely upon this book. Don't seal it. Because the time is at hand. And the time at hand is he that is just is unjust still, filthy, filthy still, righteous still. That's the first Psalm. That is Hebrews 12. And as we stand before the holy city, the innumerable company, which are going to materialize to us, as we meet them. And those on the earth here that come up, and they'll be on earth first of all. We'll see them. Everything else gets blown away. Just, righteous, filthy, unjust. Notice he says, at that time I come quickly, my reward is with me. Give a man according as his works shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that wash their robes. Doesn't say do his commandments. Where they got that from, I don't know. They wash their robes that they may have the right to the tree of life. Walk right into immortality. And remember, you wash in the waters of separation by the word. Okay. Now, before we read on page 28, paragraph 106, let it be known that the two particular seeds, one, federation of churches, two, placing and federation of nations, are clearly visible. But the union of Christ and the church is an invisible union, not visible to the other two seeds, and are identified only by the word. Observe what Jesus said in the following scripture. We're going to read now in Matthew, the 13th chapter. And we're going to read at verses 10-7. And the disciples came and said, why speakest thou unto them in parables? And he answered and said, because it is given unto you to know, given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given. Hath what? A place for the word. So, Brother Vail, you're putting that in there. No, I'm not. I'm reading from John. He said, you don't believe my word because there's no place in you for the word. I'm not reading anything wrong. Whosoever hath, to him shall be given, he shall have more abundance. More abundance of what? Life, the Holy Spirit. Block upon block, word upon word. Whosoever, but whosoever hath not, from him shall it be taken away even that he hath. There's no place for the word. He loses everything. He goes to the lake of fire. And at a special time, commensurate. Only in the mind of God, he's finally annihilated. I'm going to have Lloyd duplicate two films I brought with me. And I wish Peter were here, because Peter knows more than any of us when it comes to these things. In there you will hear one of the most remarkable men living, whose name is Christopher Byrd. I don't like him on the grounds that he started Gaia, which to me is an earth cult. But you will have him talk about royal right and the universal microscope, rediscovered by Gaston Nisson of Canada. And Christopher Byrd will talk about the somatides that you will see in the film. And he will tell you the somatides can be bombarded with 50 rands radiation. Put in a cyclotron and still come up. What am I trying to tell you? There's a part of you, saint of God, and there's a part of sinners. It cannot be eradicated, and only the lake of fire is strong enough to destroy that serpent seed. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. The word neither do they understand is explaining they can't see, they can't hear. They don't have it in them. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which says, now watch it, seed sown is now right back to the plant. The manifestation. By hearing you shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, their eyes they have closed. Just a minute. Their eyes didn't have anything happen, they did it themselves. Do you know that God prepares the vessels unto glory, but the vessels unto wrath prepare themselves? Come on, read it in the book of Romans. I've explained it to you. Get your thinking caps on. They had closed lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted full of the Holy Ghost and I should heal them. Back to the tree of life. Midst of the garden. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. And truly I say unto you, listen, you disciples, can you get this straight? The privilege you have, the honor that you have been given, the glory that is yours. You of all people, ragtag little people, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see the things you see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things you hear, and have not heard them. Judas said, ho-hum, here we go again. Live, die, sink, or swim, ho-hum, here we go again. But boy, can they steal the word. Boy, can they tell you false doctrine based right upon Brother Branham. Luke 17. 20-21. And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered and said, the kingdom of God comes. There ain't no way you're going to see it. The kingdom of God comes, but not through the processes of the five senses. It cannot be recognized unless you've been given something wherewith to recognize it unless you've got the universal microscope. You can't see magnification 16, 20, 30, and 55,000 times. You're stuck. I say, got angry Leeuwenhoek, the Dutchman who looked in these microscopes, he put glasses together. Hey, he said, this water's full of bugs. Thank God there were some good bugs as well as bad bugs. Neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for the kingdom of God is within you. Now, Brother Branham used that as a Scofield version, and it's true. I mean the King James. But the literal translation is amongst you. So what I'm telling you is this. The within recognizes the without and the amongst. Well, that picture could be, you know, well, who knows. Hey, look, we're not. You can't put God on a microscope. You can't put him on a film. You can't put him in a test tube. We go by faith. What's your faith? Blah, 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 blah. That's your faith. Forget it. 2 Timothy. The second chapter. Verses 14 to 19. Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, but shun in profane and vain babblings. There's your Esau. And for they will increase unto more ungodliness. There's going to be a far bigger crowd than you, so don't try to fight them. Just separate yourselves. And their word will eat as doth a canker. Lake of fire. Of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, they call them right by name, who concerning the truth have erred, saying the resurrection is past already and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God stands sure, having this seal. Nobody but God knows who the elect are. The Lord knoweth them which are his, and the sheep hear the voice and follow. Let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. And the iniquity expressed here is a perversion of the word. Get back to the word. Now, right off the bat, I am accused, and you will be accused, of intellectualism. Simply mechanics. While the rest out there have wonderful revelation. Hogwash, I challenge them. Stand beside me any day of the week. Let's see if I'm merely mechanical. They don't even know the first thing of the judge. They say, we're preaching presence. There's no difference, Brother Dale, between your teaching and the rest of them. Is that a fact? Where are they talking about the judge? One fella heard the tape. He said, I was intrigued. That's the last I heard him. Intrigued? I'm not trying to run anybody down, make myself somebody. Just tell you this. I want to know. I want to know all this talk. If this is simply mechanical, I'll just get out of the pulpit. But to me, it's not mechanical. It's the word of God. Matthew 16, 13, 18. When Jesus came unto the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say you're John the Baptist, some Elijah, some Jeremiah, one of the prophets. He said, but who do you say I am? Simon Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said, blessed art thou, Simon, son of Bar-Jonas, son of Jonas, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee. That's the very thing that Paul said. But my Father which is in heaven. Who gives the revelation? God gives it. And I say unto you, you're Peter, you're a little pebble. Now upon this rock of revelation, said Brother Branham, vindicated. Now let's face it. The Catholic Church says They are the rock. They're the church that got the the rock doctrine down, and the Protestants turn around and say it's Jesus Christ. And Brother Branham said it's a correct revelation given by God. Now, how are you going to get any evidence that that revelation is of God unless God does what He does through His prophets? He brings vindication on the scene. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I'll give you the keys of the kingdom, and so on and so on. And there's many other scripture concerning what we are talking about. So you can see it was a word-oriented bride. The difference lay absolutely in the word. Original spoken word seed. Now remember, as we read paragraph 106 on page 28, He has spoken of three kinds of seed about already sown. And you know only one seed is of God. Two seeds are of Satan and end up in the great tribulation, and then some, but not all, foolish virgin. Brother Branham will talk about that. Go to the lake of fire. Okay. 106, just the last couple thoughts. But where the word of God has been sowed into the people's hearts, it'll reap a bride for Christ, as certain as I'm standing here, end times signs. Now he said seed time sign, end times seed time sign, one of which is a bride church that believes the word. Now, when you talk of end time signs, don't confuse this with the prophet. He's talking about us who are bride. Now, isn't it true that Brother Branham actually gathered to himself a people that want nothing but the word that he brought? There's your sign. Are they everyone legitimate? That's only God to say. Are a great majority of them foolish virgin? That's only for God to say. The end time sign is this. They are coming to the prophet for the word. There you have it. All three seeds have manifested, and you cannot deny it. Now, reading quickly. What's the matter, Church of God? What's the matter with us? What's the matter with the Baptists, Presbyterians, Assemblies of God, Jesus only, the rest of you? What's the matter with us? Can't you see? Be careful what kind of a seed you're taking into your womb of your heart. Don't take creeds, take the word. Vindicated word of the hour. You don't have the whole Bible. Who would you think you are? Well, he says, restore all the word. Oh, my God, don't you understand that's the Pauline doctrine, that the world is going to be judged by Paul's gospel? At the same time, by God Himself? Rimologos? Can't we stop and think? Does every scripture blow our minds? Do we suddenly... when someone says something? I couldn't claim the mind of Jesus Christ and snore my way through. Or bluff my way through. Or get killed every time somebody mentions a scripture. What is the shout? It's a message. It's a restoration of the Pauline gospel. The same pillar of fire that brought the word to Paul, here revealing it. The same one here in our midst. Same pillar of fire leading us into the millennium. What's so hard about that? I'd like to. I don't see anything hard about it. The only thing hard is to be stupid in the face of it. If you like ice cream, there's a gallon there, and it's yours. You don't bother eating it, you see. Better still make it a gallon of manna. Yeah. Oh, brother, sister, this... they've been talking so much about latter rain. Not discarding you latter rain, brethren. Now, the word discarding is true. It could be disregarding or discarding, but it's discarding. Not throwing you out. He's not throwing anybody out. He never did. Doesn't unchristianize anybody. But that's not the latter rain. If the latter rain would have struck, had been here, the power of God would have struck that thing and swept the world. Now, what's he talking about? If the latter rain people had it been right, in their doctrine, this is what would have gone around the world and picked up the bride. Not a matter of going around the world and doing great things. Pentecost has already done it. You won't read it here. Catholics, Anglicans, everybody wants healing and tongues and everything else. He's not saying that. He's talking about word that was sown. The denomination word was sown out of it was the latter rain people. They took a name, latter rain, my foot. It's not picking up a bride. What's he saying? Why, he said the latter rain is fixing to come. You've given yourself a name which isn't true. They've actually given themselves the name of the Holy Ghost. Latter rain means God himself present, pouring his spirit and bringing to life these things he's talking about. We're the ones. Come to us for the dispensation of life. Come to the word. That's where the life is. You want life and more abundant? So the latter rain, you're wrong. Not discarding you. Here and there. It's not my way to judge you. Just telling you something. Now, what's the matter? Now, he said, the latter rain is fixing to come. Well, he said, it's already doing it. Then what's fixing to come? To do what these people say. It's on its way to bringing this bride to meet the bridegroom in the air. Now, he says here, the church is, what's the matter? The church is manufacturing herself something, just like Eve tried to do. She tried to have more light to manufacture something. We've done the same thing, trying to make something in ourselves. Keep your hand off of it. Let God do it. Take his word and believe it. Hold it in your heart. And when the rain begins to fall, life will take hold and the word will manifest itself. Where? In those that have gathered to the prophet. So, Brother Dale, I just don't know, you know, that we should use that language about, you know, the prophet. Why don't you shut up? So I'm going to cook your goose right now. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them that are sent to thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together? God gathers his people by the word. Oh, come all ye faithful, joyful, and triumphant, a babe is born in the cradle. He only came to expedite the word. The blood was not shed to give you and me a scot-free entrance. It paved the way for the Holy Spirit to come into these hearts, where the Spirit would guide us into all truth and take us all the way through. All right. Don't hypothesize or fantasize or reason. Just let God do it. For he said when the rain begins to fall, life will take hold and the word will manifest itself. In other words, let's get into plain English. The bride is in slow gear, if not apparently in reverse gear, compared to what's out there. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength and eventually mount up with wings like eagles. Wait upon the Lord. Be still and know that I am God. I guess you think I'm crazy, but I'm not. If I am, leave me alone. I'm happy this way, so I believe God's word. What's the matter with the church? Her womb, her open mind, has received all kinds of creeds and dogmas and not the word of God. When Christ came forth. When Christ came, he found the same thing that Adam found, same thing Jehovah found. And here these signs and the end time appearing, and the church hasn't got the answer. Now notice what he's doing. He is bringing the appearing with the seeds. He's appeared amongst us. He is present. He is here. And as Zwonko the other day quoted something I plumb forgot. See, don't trust Lee Vale's memory. I used it so many times, yet I forgot it. The gates of hell will not prevail against it. Nope. 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 In other words, all Satan's might and force to keep a people enslaved will not prevail against the appearing. How could it? Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. All right? Therefore, the church has one thing to do. Abort the bastard that's in your mind. You notice how the world is just loving abortion? That's a tremendous type of incestual, tempestuous, erotic, illicit love. And the woman gets pregnant. No matter. I'll abort it. Have you noticed how churches are changing their doctrines? Abort. Have you noticed how women are having 6 babies at one time? You can have 6 doctrines in your mind, all goofed up, messed up. The Brother Branham said there were, I think, already 17 or 30-some versions of his message out there in Tucson before he died. Now, abortion is a good thing when it's in the head, when it's in your mind, when it's in your spirit, when it's down in your heart. Abort it. Paul never even graced it by calling it a, what do you call those things, a fetus, but he called it a fecal. I'm quoting the Bible. Don't get upset. I'm not vulgar. I'm just quoting these. I count it dung. Fecal matter. Wouldn't even give it credit for being a fetus. You know why? Because Satan can't give life. He's always dead, dead, dead. She said, I just call it dung. Let's read on. The former rain's gone forth. What is the former rain? It's a teaching rain. It's a teaching given by the Holy Ghost. Now let me tell you something. The word doctrine has a bad connotation. The word doctrine is teaching. That's what it is in the Greek. And Jesus said, you've left my teaching for their teaching. Beware of the teaching of the Herodians and the Pharisees. Because doctrine is teaching. And teaching is truth, not heresy. When you come to the pure Word of God. So, we go now, I think, let me just check and see if I want these verses here. I'll go to the next section. 16:17. Yeah, John 7:16-17. And Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine. Now notice, my tie-pin is not my tie-pin. I borrowed it. My shoes are not my shoes. I haven't paid for them. Oh, I have these, but I'm just illustrating. But I can say this for a fact. My upper teeth aren't my own. I bought them. Only got two of my own. Jesus said, my teaching is not my teaching. Paul said, my teaching is not my teaching. William Branham said, my teaching is not my teaching. I don't have a thing coming. Then not insidiously, or craftily, or bombastically, or bombarding us, he turned and said, you don't have a thing coming. And people get offended. My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. If any man will do his will, now listen, if any man will do his will, he shall know the doctrine. And what is the will? To believe the one that God has sent. He shall know the teaching, whether it be of God, or whether I speak of myself. Now that's William Branham right there. William Branham taught wrong. He said there was no Trinity, one God. Why, he made Jesus his own father. Brother Branham said Jesus was not his own father. William Branham said that light that came forth was the Son of God. And he spoke to the Son. He spoke to his Son and said, let us make man in our image. Now where's your Jesus only stuff gone to? You never heard of Jesus only ever say that. I check around. I find out a few things. I don't deliberately check around. I just, somebody talks, I talk to them. Let's go to Acts, the 22nd chapter. And in verse 42, I believe it is. Is it not? Acts 2. Yeah, I got the wrong chapter. Acts 2. And in 42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, the apostles' teaching and fellowship, in breaking of bread and in prayers. Now, I hope I got this one right. I think it's Romans 6:17-18. But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine, teaching, which was delivered to you. What did the Word of God come unto you? Did it come out of you? Being then made free from sin. What freed them from sin? Truly revealed Word of God, the passive faith. You became the servants of righteousness. Cain and Abel, I speak after the manner of men, because the infirmity of your flesh, for as you have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity, even now yield your members to servants unto righteousness, unto holiness. In other words, he starts with that word, if you are going to have a life that's accepted of God, the act of faith, you've got to have that passive faith.
So what did Brother Brennan say then? Old Bill's making up his own words.
Well, bear with me. For when you were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof you're now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. And Paul himself said, according to the law, I was blameless, but he stood ashamed before God. Are you following what I'm saying this morning and getting the teaching I'm trying to give you? Don't go off into space. You're the loser. Do you understand? Paul said, according to the law, I was blameless. I never committed adultery. I didn't do any one of those things like the rich young man. But Paul said, oh God, I blasphemed against that word. When I was off course and away from word, I even killed God's own children, claiming to be one, not recognizing the truth. He said, what righteousness did you have back there? You didn't have it. There is no law that can bring righteousness. It's a life, and the life is in the Word. Just like the life is in your bloodstream, there's got to be a conduit, there's got to be a carrier. He said, now you're shamed. The end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin, become the servants of God, you have fruit unto holiness and an end everlasting life. And he tells you right there the truth I've been preaching for years. Let's go to 1 Timothy, the 6th chapter. And we're going to quit pretty soon because we're going to run out of time. I know that. It's always that way. Don't even get much read. 17 and 18. Charge them that are rich. Oh. 1 Timothy. Oh, let me see. Maybe I got a wrong verse here. Oh, well, it's all right. Oh, we go to... No, the first chapter of 1 Timothy, and we read from the first verse. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior. He couldn't have it any other way. And Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. See, there's God, there's the Son. But the Son is not God. He's the Son of God. Unto Timothy, my own son in the faith, grace, mercy, peace, and God our Father, Lord Jesus Christ. I besought thee to buy still in Ephesus, and I went to Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some, that they teach no other doctrine, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions, rather than godly edifying, which is in faith. Now remember... Now just hold your, I'll read the next verse. And now the end of the commandment is love out of a pure heart. How can you have pure heart without the blood washed in the word? There's where your love is. And a good conscience and faith unfeigned, a real revelation, from which some having swerved have turned aside unto vain jangling, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. Only a prophet now can say something like this. Now watch. I wanted to give up here. I besought thee. And charge them that they teach no other doctrine. Neither give heed to fables and endless genealogy which minister questions rather than godly edifying which is in faith. Let's go right back now to the book of Ephesians, the 4th chapter. And here's what the fivefold ministry, who is the Holy Ghost by the word to the people, it says right here in verse 16, but from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. It's all by the word, and there isn't any other way. 2 Timothy 4. And the 3rd chapter. But for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, sound teaching, but after their own lust shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Preachers willing to satisfy the congregation. Yeah. Congregation, now preacher, preach this, you do that. Forget it. Forget it. That's not the Bible. What it is, I don't know, but it's not the Bible. See? With that, go back to Ephesians, the 4th chapter, and the 14th verse, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of teaching by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. He said, these people, brother, they look really sincere. How do you know? How do you know? You got some great revelation? Come on, spit on it. Tell Paul, you stupid liar. They're not lying in wait to deceive. They hold back until the right moment is there to spring it. Oh, they wouldn't do it? Get out of this church. Get out. Don't even bother coming back. I don't see your faces. And I'm not thinking of anybody in particular. I'm just telling you, look, don't you fool with the Word of God. I'm judged by the same thing that I'm saying. If I'm alive up here in this pulpit, just to spring something on you.
I'm part of that game.
Do you think for 1 minute if I leave her, I take you with me? My strength is going so fast and so quickly you haven't got a clue to what I'm going through right now. You think on my last days I'm going to try to preach you a lie to captivate you? Fat. Captivate yourselves. You're beautiful, wonderful people, but I don't want you. I want you for God the same as I want to be for God myself. But to simply want you, no dice. No dice. The former reign's gone forth. No one has seen very much. He says right here, the former reign's gone forth. 111th paragraph. That's the reason Billy's not doing much. What's there to do? What's there to do when the farmer plants the grain? Well, he's a very smart guy. He goes and shovels the dirt off and sees the seed. Yeah, and the seed will die. The farmer is stuck. When he plants the seed, he has to sing the old Pentecostal song, "Oh Lord, send the rain just now." Maybe the rain doesn't come. So they tell the old joke about the farmer. In the spring, he plants in faith. And during the summer, he hopes. But in winter, he ends up on charity. Faith, hope, charity. Why? What does the word say about the man who goes forth sowing precious seed, crying, doubtless shall come again bearing sheaves? He's the man from the east who has some seed at the end of the winter to plant. And his family needs that food. Now if he feeds the family, no crop for sure. So he weeps over his children. That's why if you don't leave father and mother and sister and brother and family, you ain't fit for the kingdom of God. If you can't leave for this word, it's over. So he bears that precious seed, puts it in the ground. Now all he can do is to pray. Stand back. He doesn't know if it'll mature. Stand back. How fast it'll grow. Stand back. Will it be a big bumper crop? 30, 60, I'm 100. Stand back. Stand back. Well, I just can't stand back. I got to do some watering. Brother Branham quoting two scriptures. He does not quote a single scripture. He mixes like Paul did. He said, God said, I have planted it, and I water it, lest any man pluck it out of my hand. God's own planting, God's own watering, and nobody's going to get you away from him. See?
No one is seeing much. We now wait for the harvest. What is that harvest? The harvest is Matthew, the third chapter. And it's going on right now. I can take scripture after scripture after scripture. To back up what Brother Branham is saying, go back to the Alpha, the John the Baptist. The John the Baptist foreran the first coming, so your message, which was ministry, was to declare his presence. The same pillar of fire brought the word to Paul, here revealing it. Declare it. That's the message. That's the hour. That's what William Branham was all about. Now listen. In those words, Matthew 3, in those days came John the Baptist preaching the wilderness of Judea. Repent, for the kingdom of God is heaven is at hand. And for this is that spoken by the prophet Isaiah. The voice of one crying with us, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. The same John had his reign of the camels here, and leather girdle about his loins. Meat was locusts of wild honey. The one of Jerusalem, all Judea, regions about Jordan. He was compelling. Didn't have a miracle, didn't have a sign, but brother, was that guy compelling? The Holy Ghost was on him. Burned right through those people. And were baptized in him and Jordan, confessing their sins. Those people were saying, hey, we're wrong. We're not believers of the word, we're abusers of the word.
began confessing, and they were baptized. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said, "Oh, generation of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth, therefore, fruits meet for repentance." What was the fruit he wanted? Change your mind. Their doctrine was completely gone. Right? Come on, you know the scripture. "And think not to say within yourselves, we've got Abraham to our father, for I send you that God is able these stones to raise up children to Abraham. But now the axe is laid under the root of the trees." Same thing right today. The three seeds are out there, all like big trees. "Therefore every tree that bringeth forth not good fruit is hewn down and cast in fire. That which doesn't bring forth the word," Brother Branham explained that in Matthew 7. "I indeed baptize the water and repentance. He that come after me is mighty in our shoes. I'm not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. Now whose fan is in his hand, thoroughly purge his floor and gather the wheat in the garner and burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." He did not do that at that time. He's doing it now. He's doing it now. The fire is going to hit the earth. Take it all down. Matthew 13, 24 to 30. Matthew 13. I don't know if you're getting nervous or I am. I'm getting tired, I guess. Maybe I'm hitting too hard. I promise I won't, and I do it every single time. But I want to tell you one thing, brother, sister. If I disobey this truth, I'm disapproved. I'm cast away. No. John 13, I beg your pardon, Matthew 13, verse 24, "Another parable put forth, and saying, the kingdom of heaven is like the man which sowed good seed in the field. And while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. And when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, there appeared the tares also. The servant's householder came and said, 'Sir, did you not sow good seed in this field? From whence then hath it these tares?' He said, 'An enemy has done it.' And the servant said, 'Well, shall we go on and gather them up?' He said, 'No, lest while you gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. When my fan is in my hand, I thoroughly purge my floor and gather wheat in the garner and burn it up. Let them both grow until the harvest. In the time of harvest, I'll say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares and bind them into bundles and burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn.'" Billy Graham, Oral Roberts going down there, William Branham coming to Bride, Federation of Churches, World, Geopolitical. Oh, brother, sister, can you not see the handwriting on the wall? Remember, there Jesus said, "As it was in the days of Sodom, so be in the day, in the time of the coming of the Son of Man." There were two messengers sent down to the Sodomites. Okay, where are the Sodomites? The Sodomites are in 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter. 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter. And in verse 9, it says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind." A sodomite is abuser of himself and the person he or she is with. "Well," said the lady lesbian, "I'll tell you, we don't do it the way the men do, so we're going to be perfectly all right." You're liars. You watch and see what happens. Everybody wants to get around the Word of God. Why not come to it? Because that's where the life is. Don't be scared of it. Be reverent. Be awestruck. Yes. Be terrified in His presence. Yes. But don't be afraid of the Word. Because God manifest in flesh was Jesus, and He was called the Word. Now, Brother Branham uses that in different ways, so don't worry about it. When the Word was made flesh, it was all humility, compassion. But it stood rock solid. Don't fool with me. Hands off. Hands off. Yeah. That's what it says. 2 Timothy 1:17. I got it right. No. Wrong one. I made a mistake on that one there. Maybe it's 3:17. Well, it doesn't matter.
had a scripture here, but it's all right.
Now, he said Billy's not doing too much. Nobody's doing. Brother Brand said, I crisscrossed America. What did I find? 50 people came in. How do I know they're even saved? He said, perhaps the door is already closed. In other words, there is a great growth going on and a rapid maturing unto the place where it's impossible, but what there'll be a harvest. Now he said the angels went down to the Sodomites. Remember, Lot once walked with Abraham. Now remember, Lot walked with Abraham. Is that correct? Well, we know that to be true. So let's go to Genesis, the 13th chapter. And I'm going to quit right here because this is going to be a good place to start again. Now, and Abram went up out of 13th chapter, Egypt. He and his wife and all that he had Lot with him under the south. And Abram very rich in cattle and silver and gold. And he went on his journey from the south even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning between Bethel and Hai, unto the place of the altar, which he had made there at the first. And there Abram called upon the name of the Lord. Lot also went with Abram. He had flocks and herds and tents, and the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together. For their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. And there was a strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and herdmen of Lot's cattle, and the Canaanites and the Perizzites dwelt in the land. Oh, see, that was rotten right there. They should have exterminated all those birds right there. And Abram said, Lot, let there be no strife. I pray thee between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land open before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. And if thou take the left hand, I'll go to the right. And if you depart on the right hand, I'll go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes, and he began to scrutinize. Yep. Notice. And beheld all the plain of Jordan. And it was well watered everywhere. Before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves one from another. And you know what happened right today? This is your Laodicean church. They turned their eyes eastward where the light once was. They never turned their eyes westward the way Abraham did. And they said, oh, we're rich in Christian goods, and we don't lack a thing. We're this great church. There's your Lot. There's your Sodomites. There's your spiritual abusers of themselves with mankind. It's not only the church has gone a-whoring, it has gone into sodomy. And there's nothing but death left. He once walked. He didn't walk anymore. See? He once walked. Okay. I'm not going to read too much. I just got to read here. And we're Jude. The book of Jude. And then we because I want a place to stop. It's a very good place to stop. The book of Jude. And it says in, oh, 3-7. Beloved, when I gave all diligence right unto you, the common salvation was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once for all delivered unto the saints. See, once for all, no change. For are certain men crept in unawares. They oozed in. Who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying, saying no to the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though ye once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. Never did believe in the first place. And the messengers which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, yet reserved into everlasting chains unto darkness, unto the judgment of the great day. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves to as fornication, and going after strange flesh, Sodomites, bestiality, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Now, just a minute, when Lot's daughters were in the house, he had nieces or daughters. The angels came in, and he was the mayor. He brought them in his house. And the Sodomites knocked on the door, and they said, listen, we want those men because we want to do a vile thing to them. He said, gentlemen, do not do this thing. I've got women in here. Use them. They said, get out of my way, boy. We're going to do it. And every time you turn on the TV, you'll see these guys. Guys on TV. The lesbians and the homosexuals. And every time they say, we're going to do it. And you're going to pay for it. I don't watch TV except once in a blue moon. I was up in White Horse, and so they had the big shells up there, the big things, you know, gets in the TV. So I saw, I thought, I'll look at this Sally Jean Raphael, or whatever her name is. I don't know. All I know is know about her. So now she's got all these, and they're beautiful young girls. Oh, listen, if a man was lusting, he'd just gone right now. And so they're talking about premarital sex in teenagers and what these things. And the first thing she read off was this, and my fingers are not perfect, because I can't remember, but we can get it off her program. She said, right today, unwed mothers with babies are costing the nation this percent of their taxes. And she named the year it would happen. They would take up 75% of our taxes. And every time somebody said, listen, do not engage in this thing, they said, listen, smarten up. The teenagers are doing it. We're doing it and we're going to do it. And as soon as a pretty girl said that, you can imagine every man there wanted that pretty girl. Why shouldn't he? Solomon said the opening of her legs is the feet is the gate to hell. They let everybody in America know, we're doing it and you're going to pay the price. They forgot that they are going to pay a price. And you know why? Because the preachers. Yeah, they wouldn't preach it. I saw this Reverend Father so-and-so from Cincinnati sat there like a blimp years ago. When Donna Meyer and the guys from California stood up against, first stood for the Word of God as Christians, he stood there, well, he really didn't know. Maybe you know now how many priests are sodomites. I'm not saying is, I just say the possibility. There's your church. Yeah, they once the church walked with God. Yeah. Once the church walked with God. Just like Lot walked with Abraham, the prophet, but turned aside. Well, our time's gone. That's great. Let's rise and be dismissed. Heavenly Father, again we thank you for the word of life, which we are so grateful, O God. But God, don't let it be just an inspiring thing to us. It isn't. Forgive us. Help us, Lord, to stand still, just like the prophet did. Stand still and wait for the harvest of what Paul himself said, he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. Started back there, it's ending now. Lord, whatever it means, we would dedicate ourselves afresh to the Word this morning, to the Word of truth, the passive faith Word, which was once for all delivered and cannot be changed, will judge the world by one Christ Jesus according to the gospel of Paul, the true revelation in our midst. Lord, we are a little guilty of not discerning all the time the two vines, the two spirits, the twins, to know that, and especially the two hands of God, left from right, knowing if the left is here, the right is here. Somebody's got to be on the left, somebody's got to be on the right. And Lord, if by your grace, and we do believe we're on the right, that ought to settle everything. For if God be for us, who can be against it? Now that you're present, all things are possible, even this. Lord, forgive us our sins, our angers, and our animosities, all those things, Lord, which we go through. I pray, O God, you'll cleanse us beautifully and completely, Father. We're putting our whole trust in you, Lord, to help us out of every mess we're in. And everything, O God, that we have allowed to indulge ourselves in, Heavenly Father. So, Father and our God, What can we say? Help us not to be censorious from now on. Help us not to be judgmental, Lord. Help us to forget everything, but just walk with the Word and encourage others to do the same. Father, we fail that so much of the time, but forgive us. And by your grace, Lord, you helping us, we shall not be failing you in the future, at least in the intensity of what it has in the present. And bless your people today, Father. Heal the sick amongst us. And those that have needs, Father, we know that they can and are met through the life that is in the Word. For you sent your Word to heal them. And Brother Brand said, take this message for your healing. And oh, what a healing lies in this Word. The hurt of the daughter of God has been healed through the balm of the Word from the man of balm. As we have seen mercy and grace, Lord, help us to receive as never before, to believe it, and stand in His light, walk in His light. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be all power, honor, and glory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Do you love Him this morning? It really counts. We see time after time, there's nothing apart from this Word. People want to disassociate Rhema from Logos. There's only one purpose in doing it. That's to defy the revealed, vindicated Word of Almighty God by a prophet. That's to have their own ways to justify themselves. And they'll stand up as models, examples, and yet the Bible says they've crept in sneaky crooks to try to destroy. You will be misunderstood. You will. If you're going to stick with the Bible's language, you'll be misunderstood. Who do you think you are? Do you think hasn't been taught, told me? Who do you think you are and the people you're with? Only you are going to make it. So I didn't say that. There's a Word laid down. But you're going to get blamed for it. You take a stand, you're going to get blamed. You know why? If you don't suffer persecution, hey, you ain't done nothing in the first place. Any person that's not criticized is dead and never did live in the first place. You say, Brother Ben, there's wonderful men not criticized. Are you kidding? The minute you talk of a man like even Sadhu Sundar Singh, who was so full of love and compassion to God and in tune with nature, that as he went down the path one day and sat on a rock, a great big old tiger came by. Could have eaten the guy up. He just tickled his ears. The tiger rolled over on his back, he tickled his tummy, swatted his rump, and the tiger went on. Well, that guy talked about the fact that his parents tried to poison him. And he drank, they gave him poison, and he didn't die. See, I don't care how you live or who you are. I'll ask you a question. How do people crucify the Son of God, the Word revealed today, outside of the vessels that carry it? If God doesn't manifest, where are we? Take the name of Jesus with you.